Hey, it's a unique time, that's for sure. But moms, we love you. We appreciate you. Let's pray together as I jump into this Sunday's message. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. I thank you for your word. We thank you again for mothers. I pray that through me, Lord God, that we will be encouraged and equipped today as your church. Not just moms. I know we're looking at them as a way of building all of us up. But I pray that through your word, Lord God, you'll build your church. We love you and honor you in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are, family, if you would pray with me right now from home, just repeat after me and pray, Father, speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, it all started with Shifra and Puah. Shifra and Puah. You know, no one ever really names their daughters after Shifra and Puah. Not sure why, other than maybe that their names sound a little unusual, and they're right there in the scriptures. We see them in an account, and the story I want to begin with today begins with the two of them, and although it seems like they're not well known by name, they sure are significant in the history of God's people and what he did in the earth. They lived in the time of the pharaohs, Shifra and Puah, when the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. Pharaoh started to fear that the Hebrew people were growing too large in number, and being too large in number, he was concerned that they were becoming too powerful in number as well. In fear of this, Pharaoh called Shifra and Puah in. Now, I don't know why we're only told those two names. They were midwives is who they were. And we know that surely they were not the only midwives in all of Egypt. There had to have been more, but they're given to us as an example, and perhaps because of what they did, they're given to us, and they might have been the leaders, even among the midwives, but they're given to us an example of something that they did. Pharaoh called them in. He said, you know, the Hebrews are growing too large a number, so what I want you to do is when they have their babies, if it's a boy, I want you to kill the baby. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a midwife, and here you're all about life and new life and things like that, and then you're told to kill baby boys when they're born? It's terrifying to even think of such a thing at that time. Well, they didn't cooperate. They didn't do it. They didn't tell him they weren't going to do it. They just did it. Pharaoh, figuring out that they weren't doing it, he called them in to confront them over it. Hey, I told you to kill all the baby boys. How come you haven't been killing the baby boys? He brought them in, and their story was this. They said the Hebrew women, they're not like other women. They have their babies fast and just get right back to work. And before we can even get there, they've already finished with everything. And they just came up with an excuse. But the Bible tells us specifically that the reason they did this was because they feared God. They feared God. You can't fear God and decide to take the life of an innocent child before that child has had the opportunity to live. And they surely didn't have it. When Pharaoh heard of this, and after he had confronted them over it and didn't work, he then made a new ruling. And his new ruling, he was like, well, Shifra and Puah aren't cooperating, so what I'm going to do now is, when the baby boys are born, we're going to throw all of them into the Nile River. They have to be thrown into the Nile and they'd be killed. And everybody was ordered to do this. If you have a baby boy, you have to throw them in the Nile. And we don't know how many babies were killed in this way. But there was this one woman who had a baby boy, and she didn't do it. Now, we're told about these two midwives, so maybe they were a part of her not doing it. Maybe they just covered for her. We don't get all the details of the story. All we know is that this mother, and her name's not even mentioned at this time in the Bible. It's in Exodus chapter 2. We find out her name much later, actually. But in the story, we just know this mother decided that she would hide her baby. Can I say this to all the moms out there? I got a feeling that when she saw her baby boy, and I'm not trying to make light of the other moms, but I think she just knew, my baby boy is special. Maybe there's a mom out there, when you looked at your own baby boy or baby girl, you thought, my child is special as well, and I'm sure they are. So she decided, I'm going to hide my baby. She hid that baby. How do you hide a baby? Think about it. They don't really cooperate too well. But she hid her baby for 3 months. After 3 months, the Bible says she realizes, I'm not going to be able to keep hiding the baby. Sooner or later, she knew she was going to get caught. Somebody passing by was going to hear a baby crying. Officials were going to find out about it. Somebody was going to pick up on the fact that there was a baby in this home. So she says, I've got to come up with something else, and she came up with a plan. She got a basket a little ark, as it was called. She covered it with tar and pitch so it would be waterproof. And she took it down to the Nile River. Now remember, babies were being thrown into the Nile River to be killed. She took her baby boy in a basket down there, and she placed that basket among the reeds. Now the reeds, of course, are long shoots that would grow up. So she didn't put him out in the rapids of the river to go downstream and see what would happen. She put him in a place where he'd be more stationary and left him there to see what would happen. But she also put him in a place where she knew Pharaoh's daughter would come down to the river to bathe. I think Jochebed probably thought something. I think she believed, if anybody sees my baby boy, they're never going to be able to resist him. And she was right. She was right. That baby boy was there among the reeds, and the Bible says that he started crying. And Pharaoh's daughter heard the baby crying, and she sent one of her attendants over to get the basket. And when she opened it up, she wasn't fooled. The Bible specifically says that Pharaoh's daughter said, "This is one of the Hebrew babies." She knew the law. It was her father who had made the law. She knew that she was supposed to throw that baby into the river. But she didn't. She kept the baby. The Bible says she felt sorry for him. Of all things, there's this crazy twist in the story, and that is the baby who was Moses, his older sister Miriam, was hiding through all this. She had come with mom when they had put the basket in the river by the reeds, but when mom had gone home, Miriam had stayed back hiding to see what would happen. And when she saw that Pharaoh's daughter had the baby, and Pharaoh's daughter felt sorry for the baby, she probably picked that baby up and was rocking him and holding him to try to calm him down. And Miriam, who was just a little girl herself at the time, came out of her hiding place and says to Pharaoh's daughter, and we don't know if Miriam came up with this on her own or if her mom put her up to it. The Bible just says Miriam did it. So Miriam might have been a quick-witted young gal on her own and just did this. But Miriam comes up, says to Pharaoh's daughter, "Would you like for me to go get one of the Hebrew women to come and nurse the baby for you?" What an offer. Well, Pharaoh's daughter takes her up on the deal. She's like, "Yes, I would." And Miriam runs off to go find a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby. And who does Miriam come back with? The baby's mother. How's that for a twist in the story? She shows back up with Jochebed. "Hey, I found a woman who will nurse the baby for you." And Pharaoh's daughter actually says to Jochebed, "I will pay you to take care of this baby." Now, there's a mom that has a baby that's watching me right now, and perhaps a few. If not, you've had a baby somewhere along the way if you're a mom. How'd you like to have had the deal that in order to change the diapers, to feed the baby, to get up at night when they were crying, to do all this stuff you would have had to do anyway, but now you actually get paid to do it? And you might say, "No, the love of my child was enough pay." No, I got a feeling you'd probably take the check as well. So she paid Jochebed to raise her own child, of all the stories there. Jochebed, of course, kept Moses with her through those early years as she nursed him and took care of him and finally came to a place where it was time to turn the baby over to Pharaoh. And if you're wondering how such an opportunity could happen in your own life, I don't know what to say other than maybe if you have a baby, you could put the baby in a box and you could leave the box at the end of Donald Trump's daughter's driveway or something. You could try it if you want, but I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think it would work. But it worked for her. It worked for her. And when it was all done, she brings the baby back and she gives the baby to Pharaoh's daughter. And we find this verse in Exodus chapter 2, verse number 10. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 10. It says this: "When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. She named him Moses." That's Pharaoh's daughter is who named him Moses. "She named him Moses, saying, 'I drew him out of the water.'" The most formative years of Moses' life weren't with Pharaoh's daughter. They were with his own mother. And although knowing that his Egyptian mother had spared his life must have had a great impact on his life as well, he was initially influenced by Jochebed. Think about the two moms that he had. He had his own mom who had sought to save him and then had raised him when he was little. He had his Egyptian mom who referred to him as her son, and she had loved him so much, even though she was supposed to throw him in, she had spared his life as well. Moses had some great examples of sacrificial love in his life. It's why, as Proverbs declares, that mother's children rise up and call them blessed. Call them blessed because of the great sacrifice and the sacrificial love that they demonstrate. Can we honor some moms real quick? All moms sacrifice. All moms give them themselves. I told a silly little story about my own mom with the BB baths. Trust me, my mom did without and did so many things to ensure that me and my brothers were taken care of and worked so hard over the years. Your mom, I'm sure, did as well, even as my wife has done and all the other moms who are watching. Well, Mom, we found some pictures of a lot of you, and we've put them together. And just as a way of honoring you, when we think about the sacrificial love of mothers, we want to show that to you at this time. So before I keep going, I have a couple other things I want to share. I want you to watch this with me right now.
You're the prettiest girl, probably in the whole wide world. Sometimes I watch you brush your hair, you don't even know I'm there and I hear. Baby, you don't wanna catch a cold as you're kneeling down and zipping up my coat. You're always looking out for me, but your kiss upon my cheek keeps me warmer than you know. I've never had to find out what it's like to be alone. And as far as I know, Mom is just another word for home. They say I'm the spitting image of the one I look up to. And I just smile, 'cause anyone can see it's true. I'm becoming me because of you. You. Chocolate ice cream melting down my chin. Ferris wheel goes round and round again. Happy birthday, make a wish. Can it always stay like this? Finally kissed those training wheels goodbye. But you've always made me feel like I could fly. And when I fall and scrape my knee, the first one running after me is you. Sing, give it one more try. I've never had to find out what it's like to be alone. And as far as I know, Mom is just another word for home. They say I'm the spitting image of the one I look up to. And I just smile, 'cause anyone can see it's true. I'm becoming me because of you.
Calling
That's a lot of sacrificial love right there. Moms, we appreciate all of you so much. Hey, if we didn't get you in there, we're so sorry. We actually snuck and swept some pictures that a lot of you submitted last year and when we were here to put that together. But we appreciate you so much and wanted to honor you today. Hey, there's another great example of the sacrificial love of a mother in the Bible as well. And that's a mother by the name of Hannah. Many of you will recall her as well. Hannah was a great woman of God. And unlike Jochebed, who had a child and then hid her child, Hannah wanted a child for a long time and never had one. She prayed earnestly for a child. In fact, the Bible specifically says that she prayed year after year. So it went on for a long time that Hannah wanted a child. It finally happened that God blessed her with a baby boy, and she named him Samuel. Samuel meant asked of God or heard of God. That was the name that she gave to her baby boy. A little bit similar to Jochebed, Hannah also had her child with her only when he was very small. You see, in her prayers, when she was praying for a baby, she had told God, God, if you will bless me with a child, when I have that child, I will give that child back to you. And she meant that she would take him and give him to the temple in service to God. So she kept the child with her only when he was small to nurse him and care for him. But once he was old enough and just a few years old where he'd kind of be okay, she took him back to the temple to give him to the priest who was there. Now I know as I tell that story, there's a lot of moms watching who've had their children at home with them all the time of recent. Your children have been with you because you're homeschooling them while you're trying to work and do everything else during the lockdown. And as all of that has gone on, I'm sure it's been tough. So as I tell that story, I want to be careful that I don't give any moms any ideas. Like, I don't want to show up at the office tomorrow and there's some kids out front outside of the door with their book bags on and their bags packed because you decided to just drop them off at the church so that we could raise them here. Not recommended, and I don't think you'd try it anyway. But Hannah is a great example of sacrifice, of sacrificial love. And in fact, she loved God and loved her child so much that she committed to God and gave him to God, although she had been such an influential part of his life. Boy, moms are some of the best examples of sacrificial love, of sacrificing of themselves. It's amazing the sacrifices that they show and demonstrate in their lives. I mean, a mother's love is a love of sacrifice. A mother's love is a love that never fails. And I know we know the psalmist where the psalm said, though my father and my mother forsake me, God never would. But come on, if we're honest, for almost all of us, if not every one of us watching, we know that our moms would never forsake us. It just wouldn't happen. They love us too much. And we might argue back and forth with them at times, and we might disagree with them, and things might go on along the way. But we know that our moms are always in our corner. Our moms are always there for us, push come to shove. They are great examples of the sacrificial love of God. God's love is sacrificial. And God's love just never ends, and God is always there. And what a great illustration mothers are of the love that God has for us. In fact, I want you to catch something today about love, and that is this. God is your father, but God loves you like a mother. I want to say that again. God is your father, but God loves you like a mother. He says it himself. In fact, I can read it to you in Isaiah 66:13. Isaiah 66:13 is one of the passages where he says, as a mother comforts her son, so will I comfort you. You know, when I was a boy, if I fell and skinned my knee, my dad's comfort level was probably just rub some dirt on it. Get up. Stop crying. Go on. You're good. You're all right. And dads are like that along the way. But mom hugs you and nurses you back to health and takes care of you along the way. And God wanted us to know, hey, I am your father, but I love you like mom loves you. And God, of course, can discipline as well. And we know that he does that. But I want you to remember that that's the kind of love that God has for you. Two quick things about God's love with all that said. Two quick things, and they really will be very quick here because I know you're gonna make lunch for mom today if you haven't already or get some things together for. The first one is this. We know that God loves us like a mother, and I've already mentioned it. That's that God's love is sacrificial. God's love is sacrificial. I mean, when you think about these two moms that we've looked at, Jochebed and Hannah, they both really showed how sacrificial their love was toward their own children. Jochebed was willing to give her son up in order to save him. Hannah was willing to give her son up just to have him. It was out of love for both of them, out of a love for their child, love for their family, that they would be willing to sacrifice their own pleasure, their own desire, what they want. I mean, don't you remember the story of Solomon when the two women came to Solomon and one was saying, hey, you know, we made a deal where we were going to kill our babies one at a time. It's a terrifying story, but to bring the story just to the close of it, the argument was between two women trying to decide which baby was theirs. And Solomon in his wisdom said, hey, bring a sword. Let's cut the baby in half and we'll give each of them half of a baby. One of the women cried out, no, 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 let her have the baby. And Solomon said, that's the mother. That's the mother. He knew that a mother would give her child away before she would let harm come to her child. It's a sacrificial love for a mom. That's the love that God the Father has for you and I. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. A mom's love is a demonstration of the love that God has for you and that God has for me as well. That God's willing to give his all, to give his all, to give his own son as a demonstration of the love that he has for us. But one other thing, not only is a mom's love sacrificial, just as her love never ends, that's true about God's love as well. God's love is never ending. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is never ending. Let me tell you about one more mom real quick, another mom in the Bible. Her name was Rizpah. Most of us don't know much about her. We might not think about her. We would probably not put her in a Mother's Day card or anything like that, but Rizpah is a great illustration of never-ending love out of a mom. Rizpah had two sons with Saul, with King Saul, but she was never Saul's wife. She was one of his concubines. She had two sons, and in the battle and in the conflict over taking over the kingdom, there was a time where seven sons of Saul were killed, and they were hung on poles, their dead bodies, after they had died. It sounds brutal. It's a gruesome story. It was war, and it was what was going on at that time. Two of these seven sons were Rizpah's sons. And when they hung them there on the pole, the Bible tells us that Rizpah went to where her two sons had been hung, that she spread out sackcloth, which would have been a sign of mourning, and she stayed there waving away all of the birds and everything to make sure that the birds could not harm the bodies of her sons. But this is what's incredible about the story. It's in 2 Samuel chapter number 21. It says that they were hung in the month of the barley harvest, or that would be in the month of April in that area. And it says then that Rizpah stayed there guarding the bodies of her sons from barley harvest until the coming rains. There she fought off the birds and protected the bodies of her sons from the barley harvest until the coming. She made sure that no animals got to the bodies of her sons. She made sure that nothing was able to get to them to pull those bodies apart or to do anything to them. And I try to imagine what it was like for that mother to be on that hillside with sackcloth spread out, guarding the bodies of her two dead sons that were hung there on those poles. She didn't stay there for one night. She didn't stay there for three nights. She didn't stay there for a week. She didn't stay there for a few weeks. The Bible says she stayed there from the harvest to the coming rains, which means she stayed there from April to May to June to July to August to September to October for about 7 months. She guarded the bodies of her sons. Can you imagine what those bodies looked like after 7 months? There couldn't have been much left. Rizpah kept loving her sons when there was nothing left to love about them. Their bodies had deteriorated. There would seem like there was nothing left to even guard, but she loved them so much she wouldn't leave them. When David heard about it, when he heard what was going on, he sent people there to take the bodies down and to give them a proper burial out of respect and what should have been done all along the way. He was so moved by the love of that mother, by the love of that mother. She loved her sons. I want you to know that God loves you like that. God's love for you is never ending. It is never ending. God gives his all because his love is so sacrificial, and God never stops loving. God is our Father, but God loves us like a mother. He loves us like a mother. He's never stopped loving you. He's never stopped giving for you, and he's never going to. I want you to remember that on this Mother's Day. Moms, we honor you, but I want every one of us to remember how incredible the love of God is and how Mom illustrates that love for us. I'm going to invite Juliana and our worship team to come back up on the stage with me at this time. I want us to just sing one more song as we close today. We're going to sing Reckless Love. We're going to sing about the reckless love of God, how he gave everything for us. And we're going to sing this to close. And when they're done leading us in it, I'll come back and pray a final prayer. But I hope you'll worship along with this last song as we just reflect on the tremendous love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that it never ends. We thank you for the incredible example. I know, Lord God, we can't see you. Thanks for giving us moms that we could see as an illustration of what your love is like, your unending sacrificial love. Hallelujah. We love you back today because you first loved us in Jesus' name. Hey, thanks so much for joining us for our Mother's Day Sunday. Moms, again, we miss you. We wish you could be here. Hey, can I say this as I wrap up? Last Sunday, you know, I watched our service on a television screen like so many of you have done today as well because I was away, and it was my first time doing that, and it was a little tough. God bless you for hanging in there with us through this season. I'm believing we're just a few short weeks away at best. And I know when we come back and gather as a church, initially, it's going to look a little differently than it looked before of some of the guidelines and what we'll be able to do. But I can't wait to have you back here in this room with us again. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Have a tremendous Sunday.